2 weeks ago, when I was here, I failed to announce something, and I just see Watson's coming to church now in true Presbyterian fashion, slightly later than most, but welcome, Watson. Good to see you. Watson is in Zimbabwe ministering, and he's down because Shana got engaged, so congratulations. And I'm sorry I forgot you that day. It was just so much happening in this head. Who are we? And how should we think of ourselves? The short answer, we always have to look at ourselves in relation to the cross of Christ. Many, many people nowadays suffer with a low self-image or low self-esteem. And then there's another voice that we hear in our ears, be yourself, express yourself, fulfill yourself. There's this whole the power of positive thinking movement. Sadly, Christians find themselves in both of these camps. Some even have a little bit of a misunderstanding about what Jesus meant when he said, love your neighbor as yourself. Some think that that meant love yourself. But Scripture does warn us in 2 Timothy 3, but mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. So, how should we regard ourselves? How do we avoid self-love and self-hatred? How do we neither despise nor flatter ourselves? Paul gives us some balance in Romans 12, verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment. The answer has to come from the cross of Christ. The cross calls us to both self-denial and self-affirmation. I want to start with self-denial. We know the scripture in Mark 8 where Jesus said, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Jesus said he would suffer and he would die, and he did. And then he said, we must take up our cross. This is a daily thing that we need to do. It doesn't happen once when we become Christians, and then after that we don't pick up the cross again. He also warns us in Mark 8, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his Father's glory with the holy angels. Someone once said that we are both a Barabbas and a Simon of Cyrene. Just like Barabbas, we escape the cross. Just like Simon, we carry the cross. In the Roman world, those who were condemned to crucifixion would have to carry their cross. They would carry it to the place where they would be crucified. It was a public declaration of the death that would soon follow. To carry our cross means to take the position of one condemned to die. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this, when Christ calls a man, he bids him come and die. Our cross is not an irritating spouse or a difficult boss. It's a symbol of death to self. Self-denial is not giving up chocolate or giving up cake. It's dying to ourselves. It is disowning our right to rule our own lives. It's surrendering our will to Christ Jesus. This is a hard truth, but it's a call that is placed on us by Jesus Christ. But this is only half the story. The other half is self-affirmation. Jesus often spoke about the value of people. In Mark 6:26 and then Mark 12:12, he says this, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And then in Matthew 12:12, how much more valuable is a person than a sheep? Jesus despised no one. He honored those that the world dishonored. He accepted those who were rejected. He spoke to a woman in public. He invited children to come to him. He gave hope to Samaritans and to Gentiles. He touched lepers, accepted prostitutes, befriended the outcast. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. He came to give his life as a ransom for many. When we look at the cross, we see both sin and worth. I read this quote: "We are so lost that Christ has to die for us. We are so loved that he was willing to die for us." What then is this self? Well, for starters, it's not wholly good or wholly bad. We are a mix of glory and shame, creation and fall. We are who we are because we were created by God. But we also inherit the fall. So we need to deny the fallen self, all that is incompatible with Jesus Christ. And we need to affirm the created self, all that reflects his image. Through the cross, we see ourselves as created, fallen, redeemed. So then what do we need to affirm? We affirm that we are created and we are recreated. We are a new creation. Our mind, our character, our relationships are being renewed. We are children of God, disciples of Christ, temples of the Holy Spirit. We belong to the family of God. The Spirit fills us with his fruit and his gifts. We are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. Our self-image rests not on our worthiness, but on God's grace and acceptance in Christ. So that's what we affirm. What do we deny? We deny our fallen nature. We deny anything that stands in the way of Christ's will, even good things, if they hinder his purpose. Jesus denied himself. In Philippians 2, verse 6, we read, "Who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. He was God, yet he humbled himself. He emptied himself to serve us. He denied himself to give himself." So we must as well. I remember when I was in Kempton Park, I was working for Scripture Union. And I visited a teacher who was one of our Scripture Union workers in a school. And she offered me coffee. And I said, "I'd love rooibos tea." She came back from the staff room, we were meeting in her classroom, with two cups, one with rooibos tea and one with what looked like water and milk. So I said, "What are you drinking?" She said, "I'm drinking coffee." I said, "It certainly doesn't look like coffee." She said, "No, she was a lady who had grown up on the Cape Flats, and she'd been ministering among drug-addicted youth in her school. And she had challenged them to stop taking drugs. And they said to her, 'You take drugs.' She said, 'No, I don't.' They said, 'Caffeine is a drug.' She said, 'Okay, if I stop taking coffee, caffeine, then you need to stop taking drugs.' And from that day onwards, she would have coffee, which, believe it or not, was water and milk. I can't remember if it was sugar, but she had stopped at that point. She had denied herself that for the good of those people. I know, that would be hard, eh? I'm just gonna wink at the coffee people and say, switch off the coffee machine now. But sometimes we need to deny ourselves things that aren't sinful. But sometimes God calls us to a place where we deny stuff for the sake of others, for the sake of the cross. So this begs the question, who am I? Who am I? I'm a saint who sometimes sins. I'm created, recreated in the image of God. I'm born and born again with a new Father in heaven. I'm called to be salt and light. Yet I still wrestle with rebellion. I'm both noble and flawed, beautiful and broken. I'm good and guilty. I'm upright and I'm twisted. My true self is what I am by creation, the one Christ came to redeem. My false self is what I am by fall, the one Christ came to destroy. So, be true to yourself, your true self, and then be ruthless with your false self. At the cross, we see both our worth and our unworthiness. At the cross, we see both the greatness of his love and the greatness of our sin. But there's one more self that we have to look at, and that would be self-giving. Self-denial and self-affirmation need to lead us to a place of self-giving. In Mark 10, we read this. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. They replied, let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said. Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you'll drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared. When the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, but their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Indeed, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. This scripture starts with the sons of Zebedee making this bold request. We want you to do for us whatever we ask. And then it ends with Jesus' words, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The sons of Zebedee and the sons of man stand worlds apart in the scripture. Two very different ambitions. James and John wanted power and glory. Jesus chose service and suffering. They wanted thrones. Jesus embraced the cross. There's always a choice. Selfish ambition or self-sacrifice. Power or service, comfort or suffering, coffee or... Oh, no, just kidding. The spirit of James and John is still alive today, even alive in the church. We want comfort more than we want compassion, security more than service, ease more than obedience. But Jesus calls us to the way of the cross, not the way of the crowd. Matthew 9, verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Are we workers of the cross or spectators in the crowd? Count Nicholas von Zinzendorf was the founder of the Moravian Brethren. The Moravian stress was that Christianity as a religion of the cross and of the heart was the most important thing. They called themselves Friends of the Lamb, the slaughtered lamb. Their seal read, our lamb has conquered, let us follow him. They were people of worship and song. Their joy was in Christ crucified and risen. Some people even called them Easter people because of their emphasis on the crucified Christ. They gave humility and repentance. They had a deep assurance of salvation and a fearless joy, even in death. When their ship was sinking in an Atlantic storm, their calm faith deeply moved John Wesley, who became a follower because of that experience. The Moravians are best known as a missionary movement. Their missionary zeal was born at the foot of the cross. Between 1732 and 1736, they went out on mission trips and planted churches in the Caribbean, Greenland, Lapland, North and South America, and South Africa. While later they began missionary work in Labrador, among the Australian Aborigines, and on the Tibetan border. Zinzendorf said about those who did not know Christ, tell them about the Lamb of God, till you can tell them no more. Zinzendorf himself was converted when he saw a painting by Ecce Homo. There's a picture of it up on the screen. And the painting is of Christ wearing a crown of thorns. And then the words beneath it say, if your, I think that's Latin, if your Latin's any good, "This have I suffered for you. Now what will you do for me?" That was the moment. That's when he gave his life. That's when he knew what God had called him to. He prayed that day to enter the fellowship of his sufferings. From that moment, he lived only for one purpose, the enthronement of the Lamb who was slain. At the cross, we see who we really are, created yet fallen, redeemed yet being renewed, loved beyond measure and called to love without measure. The cross calls us to deny ourselves. It calls us to affirm God's image in us, and it calls us to serve in love. Who are we in relation to the cross? We are the redeemed of the Lord. We are called to die to self, called to live in grace, and to give ourselves for the world. Our Lamb has conquered. Let us follow him.